Hello and welcome to everyone gathered here today and to everyone watching and listening online. If you would please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We'll be working from this chapter throughout the season of Advent. I have this recurring nightmare. I show up at a venue where a large crowd of people have gathered. I step backstage and someone runs up to me and says, "Oh, good, you're here. Are you ready? You're up next." And I say, "Up next for what?" And that person says, "Well, you're the main speaker." And next thing I know, I'm being pushed out on stage and looking at a crowd of people. And I don't have a clue what I'm supposed to say. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I am totally unprepared for the moment. And then I wake up and I realize this is no nightmare. This is Sunday morning. Dream experts tell us that dreaming about being unprepared for critical tasks is a common dream theme. But the critical task we dream about depends upon our vocation, our season of life. And so it's common for students to dream they are sitting for a test for which they haven't been studying. It's common for farmers to dream that they haven't got their crops planted before the first rain in the spring. It's common for lawyers to dream they're stepping into a courtroom and they don't know anything about their case. Common for actors to walk into an audition, dream they're walking into an audition and realize they don't know their lines. It's common for us to dream that we are unprepared. And then there's a related dream theme that also shows up, and that is that we're running late. We're late for something really important, and we're going to miss out on it if we don't get there on time. But there are all of these obstacles that keep us from getting where we know we need to be for that important gathering, that important moment, that wedding. Never church, though. We don't have nightmares about being late for church, do we? That doesn't seem to bother us at all. We dream over and over about these fears. A fear that we are unprepared for something critical, or that we are running late or going to miss out on something important. And sometimes, in the perfect nightmare, those two themes come together and we dream that we are missing out on something important because we are unprepared. It's the worst case scenario. And it may be that we have these kind of dreams because they're manifesting our anxiety that we carry through life, that we are on the verge of missing out on something important. This is more than FOMO with social media. This is missing out on those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities where there are no second chances. Paraphrase Yogi Berra, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity only comes around so many times. And we don't want to miss it. They're critical. Oh, if you miss your plane, you can probably catch another one. If you fail your test, you might talk your teacher into giving you a retest. Or if you fail the class, you can retake the class. But there are some moments, some experiences, some encounters, some events in life for which there are no do-overs. When they're gone, they're gone. When you miss them, they're missed. It's too late. Years ago, there was a story about an unclaimed lottery jackpot out of Miami, Florida for $50 million. In their records, their computer system, they could tell someone bought the ticket with the winning numbers. That winning ticket is out there. And yet no one ever stepped forward to claim the jackpot. And after the 180-day deadline, a lottery official said someone didn't get their $50 million. And when asked, "Well, what would happen now if someone stepped forward with the winning ticket after the deadline has passed?" The official said, it's too late. That door is closed. Too late. Sometimes too late is too late. How many people walk through life carrying feelings of guilt and regret because one of their parents died and they didn't resolve that conflict, they didn't mend that relationship? Now it's too late. First funeral I did as a young preacher was for a man in his early 40s who was dying of cancer. And I remember a week before he passed away, sitting next to his hospital bed, and I was listening to him tell me about his life and how he had all of these plans, all of these intentions for his life. And he never got around to most of them because he said, I always thought I had more time, and now it's too late. It was gut-wrenching to sit there and watch him realize that his life itself was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that he had largely missed. Today we're going to read a story, a parable from Jesus that taps into this fear, this anxiety about missing out on something important because we're unprepared. So let's begin reading Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Jesus says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, he uses them interchangeably, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any or didn't take enough oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" And then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps, but the foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "And no," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to the ones who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom did indeed arrive. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you." And then Jesus adds, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is a somber parable of judgment. About 10 virgins or 10 maidens or 10 young women who are given a job to do by the bridegroom. They all are supposed to light their lamps and lead the wedding procession along the final stage of the journey that culminates in a great feast. And then they can take their lamps into the house where there will be this massive party, and their lamps will light up the wedding party. That's their job. But for whatever reason, the bridegroom takes a long time in coming, and Jesus doesn't tell us why, because that's not the point of the story. Why is it taking him so long? Not the point. It's a really good question sometimes, but it's not the point of the story. The point is that 5 of these young women were wise, and they brought enough extra oil, they brought extra batteries for their flashlights, so that if there was a delay, they were prepared. Foolish virgins, they didn't bring any extra oil, and they were totally unprepared to wait. And when the foolish ones want the wise ones to give them some of their oil, the wise ones refuse because they're wise. They say, "No, we can't do that. If we share our oil, we all could run out, and then the wedding party will be left in darkness, and that will truly be a disaster. You go get your own oil. We can't give it to you." And so they go to get the oil. And while they're away, the bridegroom arrives. And those who were ready, the wise ones, are taken into the party. But when the foolish ones get there with their oil, the door is shut tight. And the bridegroom will not let them in. He says, you're no longer on the guest list. I don't know you. Because they were unprepared, because they were late, they miss out on the party. Now, the story begins on a positive note. At the beginning of the story, all 10 are invited. All 10 are part of the wedding party. All 10 are on the guest list. All 10 have a place inside the house. All 10 have something to do. All 10 are in. But the five foolish ones exclude themselves by not being prepared. The moral of the story is not complicated. Quite simple, really. Don't be like the foolish virgins. Don't be like them and miss out on the party because you're not ready, because you're not prepared. This is one of the messages that Christians return to every year during this time, during this season of Advent, where we need the reminder to be prepared for the advent or the arrival of the bridegroom. And we need this reminder because it's so easy to forget. It's so easy to fall asleep. It's so easy to run out of oil, to run out of energy, to run out of faith, to run out of courage. So during Advent, yes, we are preparing to celebrate Christmas, the first coming of Christ, but we also are preparing ourselves, making ourselves ready for the final coming of Christ at the end of the age. And as we'll see in a few weeks, we're also preparing ourselves to respond to the many different comings of Christ in between his first and his final, because Christ is always coming to us. This story taps in then to that fear that we would miss out because we are unprepared. And because it's a story of judgment, it's meant to make us a bit nervous. It's meant to heighten that sense of urgency about being ready. Because there is only so much time. There's only so much time to prepare. There's only so much time to make a decision, to take an action, to build or mend a relationship. There's only so much time to make a change. And then the end comes. Christ comes. We die. They die. The door is closed. And it's too late. As one writer says, when the door closes, the time for maybe is over and all that's left is yes or no. And so if this story brings to the surface of your heart that anxiety about missing out because you're not ready, the most important question we can answer today is how can we all be ready? How can we be ready for what's coming? Or how can we be ready for who's coming? Jesus tells us within the Gospel of Matthew how to do it. Earlier in the gospel, Jesus preaches this sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's addressed primarily to his disciples who are following him. They've said yes to Jesus, but there are also crowds of people gathered around who are saying maybe to Jesus, and they hear this sermon too. And Jesus describes the way of life of those who will follow him. He describes what it means to call him Lord and do his will and obey him. And then at the end of his sermon, as he's wrapping it up, he issues a series of dire warnings. Not all of Jesus' preaching was positive. And he issues a series of dire warnings where he says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, we read this verse a couple of weeks ago and we'll build on it. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, remember the foolish one said, Lord, Lord, in the parable. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out or drive out many demons and in your name perform many miracles, all these impressive, religious, powerful activities? He says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you, which is what the bridegroom tells the foolish ones in the story. I don't know you. Away from me, you evildoers. And then he closes the sermon, in verse 24. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. The wise man builds his house on the rock, and he's ready for the storm. The wise virgins bring their oil and are ready for the bridegroom. And he continues and says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So the foolish man builds his house on the sand. He is not ready for the storm. The foolish virgins do not bring their oil, and they are not ready for the bridegroom. If you want to be ready, you want to be ready for the storm whenever it comes. There's always a storm coming. If you want to be ready for the bridegroom whenever he comes, and he is coming, he's always coming. Build your life on the foundation of the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. That's how we make ourselves ready. Fill your lamp with the oil of faith in Christ. Put your trust in Christ, the Lord, who disappeared into the tomb for a while and then after a time reappeared again. Following Christ, organizing our lives around Him, makes us ready. Because Jesus shows us how to develop and build a relationship with God the Father, to walk with God throughout our lives. So when that door does close, we are not worried about ever hearing the phrase, sorry, I don't know you. Jesus shows us how to know God throughout our lives and how to be known by God throughout our lives. Jesus not only forgives us of our sins so that we don't carry the guilt and the shame and the burden of our past sins and mistakes throughout our lives, He also shows us how to forgive others, so that we don't hold grudges and carry our grievances along with us throughout life until it's too late to reconcile. He teaches us how to keep our accounts with others clear and clean. And Jesus gives us the courage. He gives us resurrection courage to act on those God-given dreams, so that we're not overwhelmed with regret on our deathbed when it's too late. If you know there's something you need to do to be ready, but you've been putting it off, you keep saying maybe, because you'll get to it. It's coming. There'll be time. Perhaps today, when you hear this story from Jesus, perhaps someday you will look back on this day. It's when you finally stop saying maybe about whatever it is the Spirit is nudging you to do, and you finally said yes. Is there a habit or an addiction that you need to address? You know you do. It's holding you back. It's hurting you. It's hurting others. And if you address it, you can move forward in life in freedom and with joy. And that could begin now, or you can keep putting it off because you'll get to it someday. Maybe. Is there a conversation you need to have, a phone call you need to make, to apologize, to forgive, to reconcile with someone before it's too late? Because, the day will come, we'll be together, and it'll happen. Maybe. Is it time to take action on that prompting inside of you to do something new? To start something new, to try something new, to make something new, rather than telling yourself there's still plenty of time. Can you imagine what it would be like to move through life, walk through life, to come to the end and the closing door and to have total peace in your heart because you know you're ready. You're ready because you've built your life on the foundation of Christ. Imagine the freedom and the courage that comes from knowing that you are ready from the next storm or the next crisis because you've given your life to Christ and He's giving His life to you. Imagine the peace, the hope that comes from being ready. This is the kind of life Christ offers to us. Not a perfect life, not an easy life, not a life without pain, not a life without mistakes, not a life without storms, not a life without frustrating delays. But it is a life that is ready for the next storm. It is a life that never runs out of oil. Because Christ teaches us, and Christ shows us how to be ready. So let's prepare ourselves by following Him.